This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chalk Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're rounding up the first few episodes of Star Wars Rebels. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And hey, we don't have any announcements for right at the top. We haven't had that in a while.
Nope.
So straight into a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Want your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And you saw something neat showing up on the Her Universe feed today.
I did. Ashley tweeted a picture of her working on designs, and I didn't care about what was on the bulletin board because she was wearing a Star Wars cardigan.
They do exist.
They do exist. It's black and it has the Imperial and Rebel logos in white, kind of just all patterned around, like if you're familiar with the Louis Vuitton type pattern bags. Very cool looking, and I will probably buy multiples of them.
So yes, if you want yourself a Star Wars cardigan, remember, head to Toshi-Station.net and click on one of the big banner ads on the sidebar.
Yes, please.
Because every sale we get 10% of, and that helps us pay for web hosting.
Yay,
web hosting. On that note, it's time for what's new on the blog, and we actually have some stuff over the course of just a week. We didn't have to go a month to have things to talk about.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about now. What are you talking about?
Excellent. Let's talk about things then.
Shoshana gave us her recap of Geek Girl Con 2014, and for those of you who don't know, Geek Girl Con is a, I believe it's annual convention that's held in Seattle area, and basically it's exactly as it sounds. It's a con for geek girls, and she did a recap of the panel she attended and also posted some of the cool cosplay that was there, and that's a convention we'll have to go to eventually, but I think I want to go to New York Comic Con first, but...
Yeah, New York Comic Con's next on my bucket list of conventions to go to.
Yeah. Bria reviewed Tarkin by James Lucino. We were asked to put up the review early, so we did. I believe it comes out November 4th.
Oh, crap. Someone remind me to go email my random house contact.
Okay.
Sorry, Alex. I know I was supposed to email you back as soon as that went up, but it's been an odd week. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Likely story. So yeah, she liked it. I still haven't read it, but hopefully I'll get to it eventually with Nano coming up and then other books I have to review. Tarkin will probably get pushed to the back of the list, but I'll get to it eventually. I did another installment of the Heir to the Empire, well, the Thrawn Trilogy retrospective with, Heir to the Empire, visiting the planet's Bafash. I don't know how to pronounce it. I barely know how to spell it. Thank you, Timothy Zahn. And also Dagobah. I am still really enjoying the retrospective. It's a lot of fun. It's, I've forgotten a lot of things, so, you know, it's fun to revisit and read the story again.
Real quick, if I could interrupt you, could you set your microphone to a little bit more of a 45-degree angle?
This way? Or this way?
That way.
Okay.
And then slide over to the right just a touch. Your plosives are popping today.
This is things we discussed before the podcast.
Well, I adjust things live.
Uh-huh.
There are other podcasts that do this live.
It's better.
Yes, that's much better.
Okay.
Just speak up.
Yes.
Moving on.
Can I read now?
Yes.
Brian, you reviewed Fighter Flight, which is the latest episode aired of Star Wars Rebels. And Shoshana live tweeted the Pink Five saga, which is a fan film trilogy about a X-Wing pilot named Stacy. Yeah.
That was the glory days of fan film in Star Wars.
And Stacy was canonized in the novel Allegiance, which is now not canonized, but...
That is the greatest tragedy of legends.
That
Stacy's
no longer canon.
That Stacy is no longer canon. Aww.
And finally, I reviewed Servants of the Empire, Edge of the Galaxy by Jason Fry, which was a new young reader series. And I liked it, and you should go buy it. That's what's new in the
world. Now, didn't that recanonize some of our favorites?
It did. It recanonized Hot Chocolate, the swear words Stang and Criffing. There was more references for Calf, and it was confirmed that Calf does keep you awake. And he invented a sport called Grav Ball, which apparently was mentioned previously, but it's a completely different
sport. Yeah,
it
looks like they just recycled the name rather than the sport itself. So that's what's new on the blog. I will have links in the show notes. Go check it out. And on that note, it's Fixers Flash, the geeky things we've been up to.
Yes. As I said, I read Servants of the Empire, Edge of the Galaxy, which is a very long name, especially when you put Star Wars Rebels in front of it. It's Star Wars Rebels, : Servants of the Empire, : Edge of the Galaxy.
: Electric Boogaloo.
No, that's the second one.
Oh, right.
And that's pretty much it. I've been doing that and writing.
Gearing up for Nano.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish chapter 13 by the end of the month, and then I've made a schedule in order to finish my book.
Technically, you're supposed to start something new for Nano, but come on. If you get 50,000 words out in a month, you've accomplished the goal of Nano.
Yes.
I wrote fan fiction for the first time in 3 years.
Yay!
I gotta go write the other two parts. But it's a Hera triptych. And it's not happy.
It's good, though.
Oh, thank you. And we're on the third and final disc of the final season of Friends.
Yes.
And after this, we're picking up a new show, and I believe we've decided on what it was, what it's going to be. So, drum roll. I am making Nancy watch Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yay.
You sound so enthused.
Can we start after Nano?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can start after
Nano.
We can
take, like, a whole Saturday and just watch a season. While I not write.
You're going to be enjoying not writing in December, aren't you?
No, I'll probably be editing.
Which you weirdly enjoy more than writing.
Yeah, because it's already there. You don't have to come up with new words.
That's the worst part of writing.
It sucks. Seriously.
Okay, let's move on to the news. The news, Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom. And we start with some new Tarkin excerpts.
Yes! There's been several of them, several mini excerpts on the Star Wars Book Facebook page, and they also noted that issue 153 of the new Star Wars Insider will contain another excerpt, and it also has some Joe Caroni art.
Very cool. And I don't consider this a spoiler anymore because it's out in the wild and everyone's been making fun of it for 2 weeks. So let's talk about the Sheev in the room.
Oh, God. So, if you listened to the last podcast, I looked up the name on the podcast and groaned and said it was the stupidest thing ever, which it is. It's completely dumb. Let's get that right out of the way. However, overlooking that, I think it's hilarious. And it's the best thing to happen to fandom in a long time.
It's been a golden age of snark
because
in Star
everyone
Wars.
can unite in hating that name and thinking it's stupid and making fun of it. But in the long term, it doesn't really have any consequences to Star Wars or the story. You know, it's not like, let's think what was controversial from the prequel. Oh, it's not like, say, something like midichlorians, which some people despise and think ruins the saga completely, and other people defend to the death. Sheev is just a stupid name, it's inconsequential, and it just exists to make fun of it.
And it's produced some of the greatest arc. But I want to know how this all came about. Did the story group go to George and say, we're working on this book and we need Palpatine's first name?
Apparently George came up with the name like 5 years ago.
Okay.
It's been sitting on paper because Pablo Hidalgo was said something about it. Like, you know, I don't have anything to say about it because I've known for that long and I don't care anymore. So this is another time when we will say, please don't go to the story group or to Del Rey and give them awful vitriol because they don't deserve that. And I think we can all learn from Jason Fry's reaction, who actually writes Star Wars and basically laughed about it and then moved on.
I mean,
I don't necessarily want to move on because I want to keep laughing about it for a while, but...
And we're not laughing about it in a malicious way. We're laughing about it in a look at our fandom and its quirks kind of way. I've just got this great mental image of someone going up to George and saying, so, yeah, what's Palpatine's first name? And George responding, well, I've got this name that I've been kicking around, and I think it's a Sheev. Sheev? Yeah, Sheev. Sheev Palpatine.
You sure about that, George?
Is that short for anything, George? Nope, just Sheev.
I my favorite comment was someone saying it was short for Sheevan.
Sheevan.
Yeah, it's just funny. And Nut in the chat asked if we can make funny GIFs on Tumblr, and I replied, "That's what Tumblr is for." So have at it.
And someone else says in the chat, no, Sheevbert.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's a glorious time to be a Star Wars fan.
I think the name is silly, but it's totally harmless.
It's not like Waru, you know.
Nothing is, Nancy.
Yeah.
Nothing is. Just remember, Waru loves you, and Waru is all. Waru is good. Waru was great. And that's all we're going to say about Sheev.
Yeah.
All right, Marvel.
Except for when we find things and tweet them and Tumblr them.
There's so much good stuff on Tumblr.
I think one of the funny things I saw was from Bobby Roberts, who's on the Fullest of the Podcast. He tweeted a picture of Palpatine with the lightning, and Sheev was coming out of the lightning.
Sheev written right all over the lightning.
Yeah,
that was
it
great.
Was funny.
All right, Marvel solicits, hooray! And there is a fantastic looking variant cover for Star Wars number one.
Yes, apparently it is based on the original Howard Chaykin artwork from the original Marvel Star Wars number one.
And if you go to the link we've got in the show notes, you can see the side-by-side comparison.
Yeah, it is fantastic, and I am really... I am really hoping that they release this as a print.
I would buy and frame this print.
Yeah, it's really cool. Definitely. I'm not too excited about the comic in general, but the artwork is great. Although I'm wondering, what the heck is that thing at the bottom right? The vehicle. It looks like a Star Speeder.
No, that's the front of a Y-Wing.
It is?
Yep.
Really?
Yep, front of a Y-Wing.
That's what the front of a Y-Wing looks like?
Yeah, just the profile view. That's the cockpit and fuselage section.
It looks bigger. How many people does a Y-Wing fit?
That is
debatable.
That is a debate almost as fiery as what are the Star Destroyer bubbles? Some say one, some say two.
I thought it was two. Well, I don't know.
I think in
Yavin it was only one.
Though. Yavin it was only one, but there are some probably now non-canon variants of the Y-Wings that actually had a gunner sitting behind the pilot.
Well, it would make sense that they would have variants.
Yeah. Yeah. Optional gunner.
Yeah. Okay. I remember, actually, in the Jedi Prince series, Luke had a converted Y-Wing that could fit four people.
Those would have to be four really, really friendly people.
No, it was no, it wasn't.
Oh, Jedi Prince. Jedi Prince. Okay. There's a sneak peek of Vader's appearance in ABC's airing of Spark of the Rebellion.
Yay!
Hooray!
I guess.
That probably was 75% of the appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't expect much more than that. Because I believe it was something they added after the fact for the airing. But that will be this Sunday at 7 p.m. on ABC.
So are we going to watch Spark of the Rebellion for like the fifth time?
That's a stupid question. Yes, we are.
This is why we're married.
I don't care if there's any sports on at the time. We're going to watch Star Wars.
That's okay. The Sounders play the night before. Okay. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, but pretty much I'll be watching for that. It'll also be interesting to see how the ratings are for the airing. Because we'll be talking about that
later.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that. I have thoughts.
Mm-hmm. We have thoughts.
Thoughts, and we're probably going to use Cammy's concerns to essentially brainstorm a column I'll be writing this weekend.
Okay.
Excellent. And finally, the most anticlimactic rumor ever, Matthew Stover is not writing a new Star Wars book.
Womp womp. This was posted on Club Jade based on a note in the Amazon UK page for a Matthew Stover book, I think in June or July, something like that. And then people were speculating that he would be writing something and what would he be writing, and people got really excited. And then before the rumor could even really get off the ground, Del Rey tweeted that that is not happening. Sorry.
So that won't be one of the books that will be showing up in Q4 2015.
Well, and it was weird because it was listed like in June or July, which is when Dark Disciple is supposed to be coming out. So if there is another book coming out, it's probably going to be like September or October, and then the novelization, which will be, you know, December.
Yeah. There's probably an open slot for the fall window, like you said, October or November.
I can see like end of September, beginning of October.
What have the release frames been for this? We had a New Dawn in September. Mm-hmm. Then we have Tarkin in November. What else did we have this year?
The Jedi is February, and Dark Lords of the Sith, I think, is April.
Okay.
And then Dark Disciple is July.
Okay. So, yeah, we're still looking at two slots for 2015.
Yep.
The two, maybe three. Probably just two, though.
Yeah. Two.
They'd probably push the November release, if that's going to be the novelization, to December. So,
hopefully.
I cannot imagine Disney authorizing a novelization to go out before Episode 7.
Let's see what the Marvel novelizations are.
I gotta think with the mystery box that's been around this, they're not going to do the things where they've done in the past, where the novelization and the comic novelizations come out well in advance of the film itself.
I hope so. I don't want to have to tiptoe around spoilers.
I don't either, and that would be the That's a minefield I just don't want to deal with. Yeah. So please, if you're going to do a novelization, please wait until December, sometime after the 15th. Mm-hmm. Actually, days after the 15th would be a great time to release it. Do it the following Tuesday. Buy a copy of the novelization as your Christmas present to someone.
I'm currently doing research.
And,
okay, so here we go. Star Trek Into Darkness release date was May 16th, 2013. The, novelization was released on May 21st, 2013.
Okay, so a couple days later.
Yes, that was the last J.J. Abrams.
And, my Delray and Random House contacts, if you're listening, I'm so sorry, but that's gonna be a book we don't review on time.
I think that they would think that Star Wars fans are, we're gonna get review of copies.
We are gonna get.
Are we?
That
makes me wonder. Would they send them out early?
I don't know.
Without having to sign NDAs.
We haven't been doing the advance copies that long, so I've got no idea how they'd handle a novelization.
Nut says, "I'll hurt you both," and I said, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to read it.
If we got an advanced copy, and I am always very, very, very thankful for the advanced copies we get of books, because it lets us have enough time to read them, process them, review them, get them up onto the blog, and talk them on the podcast. But this is one where I have to put my fan self before my editorial self.
Yeah.
This isn't a book I could read before I see the film.
I think also that it's not the same type of book. Because depending on who writes the novelization, I might not even read it. I didn't read any of the, no, I'm gonna take it back. I read the Phantom Menace novelization and that's it.
Who did TPM's novelization?
Terry Brooks.
Okay.
I didn't read any of the other two. I know Matthew Stover wrote Revenge of the Sith, and I know that I should read it. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to read it.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's not for me.
Oh. But, no worries about spoilers from us on an Episode 7 novelization. We're putting our fan self before our editorial selves. We're not reading it until we see Episode 7.
Oh, hey, funny. Tom from Delray just tweeted that he was listening to us tonight. We can say right now, sorry! We won't be reviewing your book!
We're sorry. We're sorry. It's only that one, though.
Well, we will review it. We will. Eventually.
We will review it. We just aren't going to pick it up.
We can just read really fast after we see the movie.
Yes.
Well, viewings.
We will do that. Yes, we're sorry. Okay, I guess we should move on now. That wasn't even a bullet point we were going to talk about. Oh well.
That would be an interesting discussion, though. The morals of spoilers.
Oh my goodness.
The ethics of spoilers.
And we could frame it just right around Episode 7.
We can call it Spoiler Gate.
No, we're not using the gate prefix anymore. No more gates.
What about Bill? Brian is angry now, so let's move on to Cammy's concerns.
Oh, not Cammy's concerns. We still got Big's bullshite to deal with.
Yes.
And
not a lot.
Apparently filming is rounding up soon. Or wrapping up soon.
Yay!
What does this mean for actual news and rumors? I don't know. Welcome to the recurring theme of this segment.
We
ain't found. Yeah.
Can I also mention that I've come across some people on the internet talking about what we know. And I'm saying no in air quotes. And they're talking about things that people speculated based on concept art, and they're saying that these things are proven.
Okay.
No, they're not proven. We don't know anything.
Okay, I'm going to give you the same concept art spiel that I gave last week on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Concept art and storyboards are not synonymous. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of stuff. I mean, if you've got a copy of Making of Star Wars, Empire, or Return of the Jedi, pick it up, start thumbing through and looking at the McQuarrie artwork in there. There is a ton of stuff that never made it anywhere close to the films.
Yeah. My favorite is the lava throne concept art from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And
it's concept art. It's not, I mean, yes, there's things that are in there like the trench run and things. And there probably is stuff in the concept art that leaked that we will see when it comes to locations and things. Mm-hmm. And maybe some character designs. But that doesn't mean...
It's hard to even draw broad brushstrokes from concept art.
May I bring up the Sith Witch idea from Attack of the Clones that obviously did not happen? If, you know, people saw that and they're like, oh my god, what is this character going to be? Blah, blah, blah. And nothing. Nothing came of it. Until a few years later in the Clone Wars when they used that for Mother Talzin.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... They could say, okay, let's draw this character. We don't like that.
And
that doesn't mean any plot
and
you can get additionally from
the concept art that's out there, you have no idea which iteration of the script it came from.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rewrites in the script, so...
You have no idea if it's from the final version of the script or the initial Michael Arndt treatment.
Yeah, we don't know. So... Let's stop saying things that we know are going to happen because the only people who know what's going to happen are the people who wrote the script. And
they are under so many levels of NDAs, you will not get anything out of them.
I would imagine that someone like Mark Hamill doesn't really know what's happening in the movie except for his part.
Can we tell a story about your friend without getting him in trouble?
Maybe?
I feel like we can just because we don't know what he's working on.
I have a friend who's currently working at Pinewood, and this is all things he has said publicly. You know, he can't say what he's working on, but it's not Star Wars. And he has said that the security there is so tight that he can't imagine anything getting out of any of the sets, much less Star Wars. So... Take that for whatever you will. This is why I have a really hard time believing people who say they know someone who works at Pinewood and said this, because I know someone who works at Pinewood and nada. So
I mean, if he's there parked right next to the sets and he's getting nothing.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the people who got concept art, where did they get it from? They didn't necessarily have to get it from Pinewood.
And something else I wonder is any of this concept art that's making the rounds reverse engineered from rumors that are currently out there?
Yeah.
You don't know. So, again, take the concept art with a huge grain of salt.
Yeah.
Boy, we went on two rants I didn't expect to go on today. Welcome to Tashi Station Radio.
It just annoys me because I hate when people start, you know, spouting around things that are confirmed and then, you know.
That word, I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, and that's the problem is I don't mind speculation. Like, I remember being on message boards day in and day out talking about, what was going to happen in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And everything was speculation. Based on official images. So, yeah.
Grain of salt. Grain of salt. Okay, I think that's more than we wanted to wrangle out of this segment. So, why don't we get into the discussion topic of the day? And we're going to preface this by saying, if you haven't seen any Rebels episodes yet, this is where you're going to stop the podcast. Because we are going to talk about Rebels, various meta stuff around it, and the specific episodes that have released. And we're also going to talk about the episode that's currently only on the Watch Disney XD app, but we'll warn you before we get there so you can stop listening at that point if you haven't seen it yet.
Yes, we will warn people.
Because that's we're that's
right
what
now.
We do here.
Every episode has been aired on television, so you should see them.
Yes, except for Rise of the Old Masters, that has not broadcasted yet. A bunch of people have seen it on Watch Disney XD, but if you haven't, we'll tell you when to stop listening.
So I guess that brings up the first discussion topic right away, which is, what do we think of the airing schedule?
You know, when I said this on Twitter. When I was comparing Rebels to Firefly, I was talking about tone and feel, not poor time slot placement.
Well, mostly right now I'm talking about the app, you know, airing on the app first versus time slot. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay. As a blogger, I love it. It gives me all sorts of time to review
it. I'm so selfish because I'm like, oh, we can review in a week, and that's so
I've got a week to write a review, go back and watch it a couple times to pick out stuff I missed. It's great for me. I feel bad for people who aren't me, though.
Yeah, it's just a weird system because, you know, I've heard people say that, oh, yeah, if you have, you know, that channel, you can watch the app. But that's not true. It's only certain cable and satellite providers that are authorized, which is kind of stupid. Because I think you'd want to have everyone watch it who can, and it might be more convenient for people to watch it online than on
TV.
Well,
pretty much everyone from our house towards Tampa, or a little further from our house towards Tampa, can't watch it because they have Bright House. Mm-hmm. And Bright House isn't one of the Watch Disney partners.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... So, yeah, it's just... It's kind of weird. I'm wondering why they're doing it that way. I'm guessing all of the shows on Disney... at Watch Disney or Disney XD do that, but... I don't know.
Although I do have to preface and say that this is the only show I'm watching regularly, so I am so outside of the TV loop.
Yes, me too. So it's kind of weird. It's, you know, selfishly, I like that they're releasing them early.
Just for the same reason we like that bloggers get access to advanced reader copies early, because it's really helpful to what we do.
But... It also sucks because you want to talk about the episode with fans, and you know it's hard enough when the episode is airing on the East Coast versus the West Coast, and you're trying not to spoil it on Twitter.
When we watched Droids in Distress that night, how much did you just want to get on the line and just start? Oh my God!
Yes.
Did you see that?
I know. So that kind of stinks because you know you want to talk about it with your friends, but then you. So yeah, that's why I don't think I'd want to see like a movie 2 months before everyone else saw it, because then like you can't talk about it.
Yeah. On the plus side, it lets me queue up all of my tweets for live tweeting the episode as it airs.
Nice. And as far as airing on television, Disney, let's talk.
Real talk, Disney.
You're airing a show that's meant for younger people. I'm not going to say kids because adult people can watch it as well. But generally, your target audience for this channel are youngsters.
We're in the grade school range.
And you are airing this at 9 o'clock on a Monday night. Now, when I was 8 years old, that was my bedtime. And my mom and dad might have let me stay up a half hour later for Star Wars, but it seems kind of really silly. And the only thing I can think of as to why they have it on at 9 as opposed to 8 is because they don't want it to seem too kiddy. But if that's the case, why would you be airing it on Disney XD? I think if they want to keep it on that channel, put it on at 8 o'clock. It's also on Monday.
You know, if you were doing it this Friday at 9 o'clock, that works.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to get your 8-year-old up for school the next day.
I mean, Monday's kind of fun because it's, you know, Monday. Everyone dreads Monday. But, oh, Star Wars is on, so it's something fun to look forward to. But I think 9 o'clock is just a bad choice. I also think having it on the channel that it's on is a bad choice because it's not on most cable. Well, it's on less cable providers than, say, Disney or ABC Family. And its ratings have gone down since it premiered on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, I can see a lot of parents making a one-time exception to stay up late for this new show, but not going to let that happen every
week.
And
it also had a very weird airing because it aired the Friday night on Disney Channel and it had really good ratings. And then it moved to Monday. And people are probably like, well, where is that show? I wanted to watch it on the time it was on, and now it's no longer on the channel. What happened to it? And not everyone is like us, looking online and, you know, researching Star Wars day in and day out. So,
excuse me, I'm going to pull up the wiki for Firefly right now.
Okay. I mean, Disney owns so many channels. They've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on actual ABC. It just seems like they have a lot of faith in Rebels because they think it can save a failing channel, but they don't have enough faith in it to show it on a station that deserves to show Star Wars. You know, it's like Cartoon Network. Pretty much everyone with cable had Cartoon Network.
Yeah, that's a standard basic cable package.
Except, you know, so if you didn't have TV or cable, you didn't get to watch Clone Wars. But, you know, it just, you want to get people watching it. That's why they're showing it on ABC. It'll be really interesting to see the ratings, especially since so many people watch it initially.
And can we have some real talk? Disney XD is nominally marketed as a boys channel.
Yeah.
And,
which is stupid because I don't know why TV has to be gendered. I don't know why anything has to be gendered, really, but I mean, I guess there's Lifetime, so you need to have XD. I'm sorry, is the regular Disney Channel too girly as it is? I am not familiar with the Disney Channel television shows. So.
Neither am I. Here's the thing. If you're going to be using Rebels to try and save this channel and get eyeballs on it, we'll just play for a moment and say that airing it on Disney XD is a good idea because it'll be good for this channel. Why are you airing it in a time slot that most of your target demo can't stay up to watch?
Yeah. It just seems like they're trying to get it to fail.
It's kind of like airing Firefly at 7:30 on Fox, back when Fox still had the late night football game. maybe not the most optimal plan for it.
No.
And I like to think that Disney, if the ratings still aren't up to par, they'll say, okay, let's take this show and we're going to re-air it on the Disney Channel between seasons. We'll do a new run there, get people pulled over and watch it there. We'll continue running it there and the numbers will go up. I have this horrible fear that what's going to happen to Rebels will be the same fate that happens to every other show I like.
It better not, or I'll kill somebody. And then they'll be like, it's because there was two girls in it. I'll punch people.
If that excuse is the excuse you use, I am angry with you. I am preemptively angry with
you.
We
don't want the girls to buy their toys. We don't want the girls to spend money. I don't spend any money on Star Wars stuff.
Nothing. I mean, you only bought every action figure in this bookcase behind me.
Yep, that's me.
I own exactly zero of them. Okay, so enough of that topic. Spark of the Rebellion. We covered this when we did our special premiere podcast reaction.
Yeah.
Our hot take on Spark of the Rebellion.
Yes.
Thoughts on that before we dive into the other episodes?
I still really like this episode. I think it's really well paced. There's a few parts where it goes kind of quick, but I think overall it's a pretty solid story. I like the 44-minute episodes. I think it's a good amount of time to tell the type of story they're going for.
Maybe this is controversial, but I would trade a 26 episode season of 22 minute episodes for a 13 episode season of 42 minute episodes.
I think I would too. But yeah, I still really liked it. I think it was a really good introduction to the characters and, yeah.
Go listen to our reaction podcast. We have more thoughts there, but let's talk Droids in Distress, the first actual episode one.
Yes.
Of the show.
Yes. So Droids in Distress, it's basically the premise is that they're going low on funds, so they take a job from Visago, the Deveronian smuggler scoundrel dude that lives on Lothal. Or Lothal, however you pronounce it. And they are going to steal some crates that are destined for the Empire. And along the way, they run into our favorite cantankerous droid duo, C-3PO and R2-D2.
What's the word I'm looking for here? How nonplussed were you? Initially, the inclusion of 3PO and R2.
Well, the fact that it was happening on episode one kind of made me go, really? Really? But I guess the way they wrote it, it was kind of... It made sense. They were escorting a minister who needed a translator. Don't know why R2 was there too, but I guess they can't travel alone. And so they go along and do their mission. R2 reveals that he's supposed to keep the crates from falling into the Empire's hands. And there's a nice little mission. What mission? Line. And meanwhile, 3PO is a dumbass and calls Agent Kallus to their location. And there's an ambush. And Kallus and Zeb fight, and then Ezra force pushes him away and saves his life. And there's a lot of character moments with Zeb, who you find out his people were, you know, killed by the Empire and the planet as was raised. And Ezra wants to learn the Force, but Kanan hasn't been teaching him yet. Am I missing anything?
That about sums it up. Except for the last 30 seconds.
Oh, the last 30 seconds.
Which, the last 30 seconds of Droids in Distress, solved every major concern I had about the show.
Agreed. It was basically, Bail Organa, them returning the droids to him, and then him revealing that he asked R2 to record them. Or not asked, but R2 did record them, so he asked to see the footage of these rebels. And kind of begs the question as to whether we're going to see the Krillian Treaty as it was depicted in the EU.
Be canon, because it's such a good... It's such a good story.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you take the name at face value, Rebel Alliance, you would, you know, there's all these different rebel groups, and then they become allied as in one. And therefore, they can better take on the Empire, because a bunch of these groups operating separately are not going to do a good job. So, and someone like Bail Organa, who has enough power and influence to actually lead, I can imagine him going around and trying to find these, kind of like Hera was doing in A New Dawn, but on a much larger scale. And I really hope we see that throughout. I can see that as basically the long con goal of the show, that, you know, they will eventually come to that.
So yes, that last 30 seconds made the concerning things about that episode go away, and the concerning things potentially about the whole show go away.
Yes.
And in that moment, you say, I'm sorry, I doubted you, Dave Filoni. Please forgive me.
Yeah, we'll see. He can still disappoint us, but I'm
such
very...
Such a cynic.
Yeah, I'm a Star Wars fan.
Aww. Aww.
I've been burned. But yeah, I really liked this episode. And also, we can't not mention Star Tours.
Yes, Rex is canon.
Captain Rex, the Star Commuter pilot, it was called, not the Star Speeder. But yeah,
they got Paul Rubens back. It's amazing.
It is.
That's great. That's great. I'm sorry, I laughed so much when he showed up. Okay, Fight or Flight.
Yes.
Fight or Flight is a bottle episode. What is a bottle episode? Let's go to TV tropes. I'm going to pull that up now. I should have pulled it up sooner. Bottle episode.
You should have it bookmarked for everyday use.
I really should. TV tropes is so important to what we do here at Tashi Station. So important. Let me just pull this down. A bottle episode is designed to take up as little resources as possible. The easiest way to go about this is to use only the regular cast, or even just part of the regular cast, and set it in some singular locations.
I don't know if that's true. The singular location part.
Well, they were all on Lothal.
Okay.
They didn't really venture beyond Lothal for this one. Bottle episodes are often a chance for characterization-filled episodes, before and after, stuff like that. So there's a great episode of Community called the Bottle Episode, where they kind of do a deconstruction on the idea of what a bottle episode is and what it can accomplish.
You should make me watch that show, by the way.
Oh. We might have to watch that before Avatar. We might have to. So, Fight or Flight isn't the perfect example of a bottle episode, but it's a bottle episode in the idea that it's a character study. It's really not pushing plot hard. We're looking at just a couple of characters and developing them a lot. And in this case, it was Ezra and Zeb.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's the quick rundown I can give here? Ezra and Zeb piss Hera off. Hera kicks him off the ship to go run some errands. Ezra and Zeb run errands, steal a TIE fighter, attack a convoy that's taken some people prisoner that shouldn't be prisoners, save the day, go back to the ghost, and everyone's happy. Ezra and Zeb are better friends, and Hera has fun at their, or Sabine has fun at their expense.
And they did all this for fruit.
Did all this for fruit?
Actual line in the movie.
Actual
line in the show.
So, yes, even the writers know that you're aware of the street rat symbolism there.
Mm-hmm.
They know.
Yes.
They know.
Yes.
I like this episode. I liked it a lot. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. On the surface, a Zeb and Ezra bottle episode sounds like a really boring episode, but what made this work was that it was funny. It was so, so funny.
It was really funny. I thought it was going to be kind of silly and stupid, but I mean, maybe it was childish humor, but I laughed my butt off. So,
well, it might have been childish humor, but it was well-timed and executed humor.
Yeah, definitely. I was really happy with it. It was just fun, and like sometimes it's nice to have a fun episode of Star Wars, you know.
I mean, I really liked the Clone Wars. I liked it, but I thought a problem the series had was that it had a hard time finding the middle ground between dark drama and slapstick.
Yeah.
Fight or Flight is an example of Star Wars hitting that lovely middle ground, mm-hmm. where there are serious moments, but they know when to insert humor and levity to keep things from getting dark. And Fight or Flight's a great example of that. Maybe a bottle episode, but oh, it was just thoroughly enjoyable. Loved it to pieces. I said as much in my review. So yes, happy with that one. Which brings us to the point in which we say, okay, those of you who do not have access to the Watch Disney XD app, pause the show, come back to it. Come back to it Monday after it airs on Disney XD. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to leave now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. And we just lost the entirety of the chat. Sorry, chat. Okay, let's talk Rise of the Old Masters. Okay, off the bat, if you were worried that Disney, this is funny that I'm saying this right after I just praised the show for having levity and silliness mm-hmm. and funny in there. If you were worried that Rebels wasn't going to go dark because mm-hmm. Disney,
You're
first,
wrong.
You apparently have not watched anything Disney's done in the last 15 years, but that's another story.
Pinocchio.
Yeah. You're wrong. You were wrong, and this episode should put all those concerns to bed.
But also, the thing that's good about this episode is there's also funny moments in it. It's, in general, a dark episode, but there's still elements of humor. Like, when Hera is being attacked by these creatures that think she's emitting a mating call, that's kind of hilarious. And she thinks it's funny and just ends up rolling with it, you know? There's, you know, funny moments with when they're trying to infiltrate the prison and, you know, Kanan's like, don't you guys have any faith in me or whatever? And they're like, no. I mean, even when, you know, the Inquisitor has this stupid lightsaber that spins and, Ezra goes, does yours do that? Like, that's, I mean, it's funny and it lightens
up. And then
the
callback when Zeb says it 7 minutes later.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And so that's what I liked about the episode is that it had the tone right. Like, even in The Empire Strikes Back, which is, you know, where the shit hits the fan in the original trilogy, there were still funny moments throughout. And, you know, that's what Star Wars is. Star Wars isn't grimdark. Star Wars is something you can laugh at and then go, oh my God, everything's going to go to hell.
But, okay, give us a quick rundown of the episode.
So they are, the episode begins with them training Ezra. And let me begin by saying training a kid like a couple hundred feet in the air while standing up in a headstand on the roof of the ship is not a really good idea, Kanan. And I agree with you, you're not a good teacher. Because, oh my God, like, I realize that you gotta sometimes put people in the thick of things to get them to perform. But that's a little too much.
That's a little much.
So anyway, then they see they're watching the Holonet news, which I thought was kind of cool. And there's a broken in announcement from a senator.
Max Headroom.
What?
Oh, you didn't get that reference.
No, I didn't.
Someone in the podcast listening to this podcast is going to get that reference and they're going to laugh. You're welcome, listener.
Okay.
Moving on.
So a message breaks in to the newscast from a senator who said that former Jedi Master Luminara Unduli is alive and in prison on Stygian Prime. And they see this and they're like, you know, immediately think they need to go rescue her because this is huge. And that this is huge, and they need, you know, they need her. And Kanan is like, you know, she can train you, Ezra. And Ezra gets all pouty because he thinks he's being, you know, pawned off on someone he doesn't know. So they go to Sigin Prime, infiltrate the prison, and they go into the cell, and Luminara is there. But, however, she's not really Luminara. And I haven't really read explicitly or specifically what it is, if it's a hologram or whatever, if it's just Sith magic. Because she gets up from the bed, walks into the coffin, and then she's a mummy.
What?
Being kept there to lure Jedi into a trap because Kanan can sense her presence.
That was dark.
Yeah, and apparently, I mean, she hasn't... I mean, he can feel her presence, so she can't be dead in the natural sense. Like, there had to be some sort of weird voodoo going on with keeping her presence there, which is really freaking creepy. So then they're ambushed by the Inquisitor. They fight. The Inquisitor tempts Ezra, as everyone has to do. And eventually they get out of the prison, and Hera shows up with the cavalry of crazy giant bird things that have come to her ship because mating call, and then they get out from that. And then at the end, Kanan is back to training Ezra on the ground.
Smart.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, that's the episode.
Oh, it was so good.
We need to watch it again.
Well, you're reviewing this one, yeah, so we do need to watch it again. Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was too good.
Sorry, I'm just trying to keep a hold of myself. I can't wait for it to air.
Yes.
I want to talk to other people about it.
I know. It was pretty good. I really liked Jason Isaacs as the Inquisitor. He's got a lot of elegance and class that otherwise the role could be just kind of a, you know, normal dark side scary character.
It feels like he will invite you over for tea before he saws you in half with his lightsaber.
It reminds me of Count Dooku. You know, Count Dooku is very cultured, but also Count Dooku, that was his, you know, public face. The Inquisitor is obviously working behind the shadows, so it's cool to see him being like, oh, hello, I'm the Inquisitor. Would you like some tea?
It's nice to see Jason Isaacs playing someone that isn't a total pushover like Papa Malfoy.
He was in that show that did not last very long. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like he was in two realities going back and forth and he didn't know which one was real. I watched the first episode and thought it was pretty cool, but it didn't last long. And he was just a normal dude in that one. American. Kind of creepy.
Why?
Yeah.
And there's that Constantine show where David Tennant's playing an American, but why?
Awake, that's the name of it.
Constantine?
No. The show. It was called Awake.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Yeah. Right. And he was also in The Patriot. He was a jackass in that movie.
I thought Awake was going to last more than a couple episodes.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't.
But yeah, I liked it. Although I do have a beef, and I don't know if they're going to fix this soon in one of the upcoming episodes, because we saw a clip with Sabine and Hera hanging out together. Hanging out, being shooting crazy animals.
Being awesome, capable ladies.
Yes. Because while they've done really good on the show so far, you know, Hera's been, you know, coming to save the day and the ghost, and Sabine was involved with infiltrating the prison, and she was the one who knew all about it, which I thought was really cool, that she had an air of authority about it. But I want to see them, I want to see episode focused on them. Because we've had, you know, Zeb and Ezra have had an episode. Ezra's been kind of the main focus of every episode, and Kanan, of course.
Ezra is the XP. for the viewer.
Yes. And then, you know, Chopper's kind of always there in the background laughing. But I really want to learn more about Sabine and Hera.
Yeah, we've gotten some character progression from everyone but Sabine and Hera at this point.
Yeah. And I think they will do it. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think we're ever going to learn it, but I hope that that episode is coming soon, because, you know, there's the whole issue with the lack of merchandise with them and their action figures coming later than the first wave. And I don't think the show is going to follow that, because I don't think the creators of the show think that way. But if they don't have them, an episode of them featured early, it might come off that way, which is bad.
Yeah, it would be unfortunate.
I mean, I don't have any problem with the way they've been portrayed right now. I hope that episodes with them are...
Doesn't come off at the end of the season and come off as an afterthought again. I mean, I know the creators don't think of those characters as afterthoughts, mm-hmm. just within the larger context of kind of some PR diversity gaffes this year. It would be really tragic to see the same thing happen again.
Yeah.
So that's all we'll say on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we want to say about this episode?
I don't think so. You?
I'm good. I really enjoyed the episode. I've enjoyed all of these episodes so far. Hasn't hit a sour note yet for me. I am absolutely loving Rebels. And I think did I say this last week? I can't remember. But in three episodes, they've gotten me as invested in this show as it took three seasons of the Clone Wars.
I'm more invested in the show than I ever was in Clone Wars.
That's high praise. Because you were pretty invested in Clone Wars.
I liked Clone Wars a lot. I kind of got not bored, but I wasn't as satisfied with the last season as other people were. But I just, especially because these are characters I didn't know before. They're all new characters. But I think that's what makes it work, is because, you know, the great thing about Star Wars is you have this rich galaxy and you can throw in different character types and make a story, and it works.
Yeah, so let's get back to the Firefly comparison that isn't time slot related. It's very character focused. It's got a very small crew that you focus on, and you get to see them progress every episode. You get to know them better. And the Clone Wars was great, but it was always these disconnected stories that didn't really overlap. You'd never got enough time with the characters to form those more meaningful relationships and feelings about them. In three episodes of Rebels, they accomplished creating the connection that it took a much longer time to do in the Clone Wars, just because of how that show was structured.
Yes.
So, yes, I'm very, very, very happy with Rebels and what they're doing, and I cannot wait for more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get it into a place where it can succeed in the ratings so I can get more than two seasons.
Agreed.
All right.
I want this show to last for a long
time. I want at least five seasons out of this. Mm-hmm. At least.
Agreed.
All right. Anything else we want to add on Rebels for Cammy's concerns, or are we going to wrap it up there?
I think we're going to wrap it up there.
We're going to wrap it up there because we just passed the hour mark, and that means it's time for us to go.
Oh. Now it's time to say goodbye.
To all our company. TOS. CHE.
STATION. No, it doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Okay. Please don't sue us, Disney. Okay, this episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site, especially if you want that new cardigan when it comes out.
Yes.
And help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree on Facebook. We're the Tosche Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns, news, and Rebels reviews at Tosche-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We'll catch you all next week.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.